play by myself, so I was pretty good by myself. But now everyone's looking at me, so it's different. I must offer the same disclaimer that Brother Tom offered. I do not profess to be a preacher, and I'm definitely learning as much as everyone else is here tonight. So if there's any correction that you feel should be made, please get with me, and we'll see how best we can take care of that. This evening, I'd hope to discuss obedience. It came about last week when a member of the Bangs congregation, Brian Makuta, he kind of offered the lesson to me in a roundabout way. There's a Brian Makuta is Big Brian, and his son is Little Brian. So everyone that's familiar with him knows, you know, Big and Little Brian. Well, Little Brian is on a baseball team. And last week, or it was last week, they're having a district baseball tournament here, the summer league tournaments. And Little Brian, his team was going through the tournament process in the playoffs, and they were winning and doing pretty good. Come a time that the baseball game was to take place on a Wednesday night. So Big Brian sat him down and they talked about it and said, you know, the baseball game is going to take place at the same time as church. And although the baseball game was important, it was a playoff game, Father believed that church was more important, and he asked Little Brian what he believed as well. And they discussed that, and they came to the conclusion that going to church was a bit more important than playing in a sport activity like that. So you have to commend both of the Bryans for that attitude, for desiring to study the Word of God over playing a sport. I offer that, and at the same time, I must say that personally, I know that there are times in which a person is not able to worship with us at our scheduled times, first day of the week and Wednesday evenings. Even the summer youth series on Tuesday nights. Sometimes a person has to work in order to take care and provide for his family. Sometimes a person runs in or encounters some sort of situation that just cannot be avoided. Police officers, for instance, firemen, they're protecting a lot more than just their families. They're protecting the community. So by no means am I faulting anyone if they're not able to make it to a worship service, but Mr. Churchwell, for instance, Matt, I'll be the first one to tell you, I do not want his job. He has a very difficult job. He protects the community, and he protects the people within that jail. So, my hats are off to him for that. And that's a full-time job, 24/7, even on a Wednesday. So, I understand if I don't see him here. There are times when it's hard to be obedient. Sometimes, you can say that following the course of least resistance, it makes a man, as well as a river, pretty crooked. But the test of true faith is whether we obey the Lord when it's hard to obey. So I started thinking about the times that it's hard to obey. Not just the reflections of having to work, things like that. But in general, when it's difficult to obey. Sometimes it's hard for people in this world to obey the Lord because they're not in the mood to obey the Lord. They just don't feel like it. If we decide not to do the right thing because we don't feel like it, what kind of commitment to God are we showing? I don't believe that that is a commitment at all. What if God wasn't in the mood to sustain the universe? What if He was not in the mood to provide us with oxygen? As a Christian, it's important that we resolve ourselves always to be instant, in season and out of season. And you'll find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. It's also important to remember to abide in our first commandment as it is found in the book of Mark, which is chapter 12 and verse 30, where it says, "And thou shalt love thy God," thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. For this is the first commandment. Maybe that would help us get into the mood during those times when we're not. Ultimately, when we're not in the mood to obey God, we are in disobedience. We are actually disrespecting the Lord at that time. But how about another time when it's hard to obey the Lord? How about when it's not convenient? In the book of Acts, chapter 24, we read of a time when it was not necessarily convenient. We scroll along in chapter 24 of the book of Acts. We learn of a man named Felix speaking with the Apostle Paul. Verse 22, it says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him." Verse 24, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." You see here, Felix was terrified of the things that he was hearing. Now, as a Christian, when someone is preaching to you, when someone is giving you the word and you become terrified, that's a moment when, as a true Christian, you should think about changing your ways. But what did Felix do? Felix answered and he said, "Go thy way for this matter. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." It wasn't convenient at that time for Felix to understand that he was doing wrong. But convenience plays an important part in a person's life. We all have our routines and our habits. Sometimes these things can mean more to us than the Lord. Sometimes we forget, as it's written in the book of Matthew. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's chapter 6, verse 33. Sometimes it is possible to be so possessed by our routine that maybe even the Lord has to make an appointment for us. Would we like it for the Lord to treat us in this manner? We can go to the Lord at any moment, and He will be there for us. But at the same time, isn't it only fitting that we have an open schedule for the Lord as well? We have to remember that the Lord, He rarely fits a neat pattern of convenience in our lives. It's not that He's just trying to mess with us, but the Lord is always there for us. But we're the free-spirited people that go through our lives. The Lord just tries to help. We should accept His help. If we are to seriously consider being involved in the Lord's work, we must understand that there are going to be disruptions in our lives. There is much in the Lord's work that cannot be put on the back burner. I know that as a police officer, that as a human, as anyone that goes out in society, there are times when you just come across a person who, for whatever reason, brings up a conversation of the Lord. And when that time comes, we should answer. We should have the ability to answer. It's also important to understand that as we grow as Christians, as I grow as a Christian, as we all grow as a Christian, the discipleship, the work of the Lord, it rises as we go throughout our lives. The book of Matthew in chapter 19, it says, Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. If you recall in the book of Matthew there, this young man approached him. The young man approached him. He said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, that's good. He asked about eternal life. He asked what he could do. And Jesus gives him so many things that he can do. Do no murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. In verse 18, verse 19, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him in verse 20, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So as we grow and as we mature as Christians, our work will grow and mature with us, which is why we should constantly study. Another reason why it becomes difficult to obey is when I do not understand why God has required something. It's the whole purpose of studying is to learn something, but what happens when you don't know it? It does become difficult to obey. It is important to understand that we may not always know the why of God's will or how more good can come from doing what God wills. But it is important to keep the will of God, to constantly abide by the will of God to the best of our abilities. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So even if you don't understand why you need to do it, it's important to remember to do it. Understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. We may not understand why adultery is a scriptural grounds for divorce and remarriage, but that is what God says. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. They discuss the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It goes on and on through verse 21, where it says, Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You may not understand some of the things in verse 19 or 20 that they say don't do. And if you don't understand it, that's okay. But don't do it. It's important to obey the Lord. Obedience is sometimes hard when you don't understand why God has required it. But through time and through study, you can learn to understand. And people within the congregation can help you. There are many examples as well of true believers, of men of faith that have always trusted God enough to obey Him, even when they might not have completely understood Him. In Genesis chapter 6, for instance, beginning in verse 13, we see where God is speaking to Noah. It says, "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through men, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Right after that, God starts telling Noah how to build the ark. And they continue on in many different verses. Verse 21, it says, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." And in verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him." So did he. Whether Noah understood completely why God had decided, as in verse 13, Noah did all that he was commanded to do. And further on in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Reading verse 4 there. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." The people of that time trusted God. When God spoke to you and told you to do something, you did it. That's very important. If you don't understand why, the Bible is here to help us. There are many people within the congregation that are able to help us. Sometimes it's difficult to obey the Lord. Maybe when my preference is otherwise. Maybe when I want to do something else. Human wisdom. The mind of people. Brian Makuda. Not only did him and little Brian make that collective decision not to go to the baseball game, but Brian posted it on Facebook that they chose the Lord over the baseball game. And I think they got somewhere close to 60 comments. 60 comments discussing human wisdom and emotion. How he's letting the team down, how he's doing this or that. But you know, that's their decision for the Lord. That's how they viewed it. They wanted to worship the Lord properly. But all those comments, so many of those comments, chose to try and persuade them to disobey the Lord. It's always important to remember that the human wisdom is not always the correct wisdom. And I can tell you that emotion will get you in trouble more times than not. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Sometimes what seems correct on a human standard is not correct. And it could be the way of death. People of true faith must be willing to lay aside their will in order to abide by God's will. Again in Genesis in chapter 22, we read about Abraham. Verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning He saddled his ass and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now I'm willing to believe that maybe Abraham preferred to do something else, but he kept his faith with the Lord and he did as the Lord commanded. A man of true worship didn't understand what was about to happen, but he kept the Lord. He abided by God's will. How about it's hard to obey the Lord? It's hard to obey when it would embarrass me. There's a lot of times when we use the word hypocrite to describe a person who comes to church on Sunday morning and pretends to be a godly individual. You call him a hypocrite if you see him out getting drunk and partying on a Saturday night, but he's in church Sunday morning. It's important to remember, however, that a hypocrite can also describe the person who pretends not to be a believer, just in order to avoid embarrassment in front of others. Sometimes people forget that they're a Christian or pretend not to be a Christian because it's easier around the workplace. It's easier to tell those dirty jokes or to listen to the cussing and screaming that goes on in the locker rooms, just because it's easier to do that than to avoid the embarrassment. But again, Brian Makuta, he offered some words of wisdom in some of those 60-odd comments. When he said, it's funny how people will avoid having a conversation with him about God because they think he's too religious. But at the same time, when someone truly has a question about God, who do you think the first person is they go to? Brian is not embarrassed to be a Christian in the workplace, at home, in life. And it's evident at work. People make fun of him, and then secretly, when it's just one-on-one, they'll go to him and they'll ask him questions because he does his best to give the correct answer. Other examples of the hypocrisy or embarrassment that takes place can be found in the book of John in chapter 12. Beginning in verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." It's important as Christians to understand that the praise of God is more important than the praise of men. And if you refuse to obey the Lord out of embarrassment, are you refusing to obey? Or more seriously, are you denying the Lord? "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. If you're embarrassed of the Lord during these times when it's convenient for you, how are you going to feel when the Lord returns? If the Lord was to stand in front of you and confront you, how will you feel at that time? So I know that it's a little bit early and I'm just about finished, but before I give my conclusion, I have to address Don Smith. As Don Smith told me once many years ago, he said, "James, when you have said all the things that you are prepared to say, shut up and get off the stage." So I'd like for everyone to remember that obedience to God's will, it can be difficult. It can be a stressful thing. Paul himself had to discipline himself. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, we read in verse 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible." As Christians, it is important to always strive to be incorruptible. When it's hard to be obedient, have that hard life. Do the best you can to be obedient. Now, if you are a member of the Lord's church and you have found times to be difficult, you have found it to be hard, there are plenty of people here within the church that are able to assist you, whether it is through prayers, through Bible study, or through conversation of like-minded people. And if you are not a Christian this evening, the opportunity is always extended to you. If there is anyone here this evening who needs the needs of the church, if you'd please come as we stand and as we sing.